folks. Welcome to episode 3487 of the Survival Podcast. And today we're going to do kind of a topical show, one of the things where we look at current events. Not my favorite shows to do, but they are shows that I feel are important to do. They tend to be the most listened to, most shared, most downloaded, best attendance for YouTube Live and things like that. So I guess that's the good part of them. But we do need to be aware of what's going on. Like I said, my show is, 90% about solutions and 10% about problems. Versus I think that most media in this space, whether it's alternative or mainstream, are probably lucky if they're 10% solutions. They're 90% problems minimum, And so I try to be the other way. But we do have to pay attention, this last weekend, it ended up not being a big deal here where I live, but in parts of Texas, it was a huge thing with the weather. And we certainly were under threats of it here. We were under tornado watches and warnings at times in my area. We got a lot of rain, a lot of wind, a little tiny bit of hail, but it could have been much worse. And there's nothing that I could have done to make the weather not happen or change what happened, but I'll pay attention to the weather because the weather is going to come whether I pay attention or not, and knowing what might come makes me more prepared. So that's kind of how we're coming at today's show. Here's what we've got today. I got a whole bunch of stuff in a wide variety as well. And not all of it fits the title. Again, the title of today's episode is Society-Wide Stupidity Continues. And there's plenty of examples of it. But there's actually some wins today and then just some awareness things that aren't really stupidity. Leading off, though, there was a takedown over the weekend, or actually late last week, of something called Samurai Wallet. And Samurai Wallet was a service that allowed Bitcoin users to mix their Bitcoin, thereby providing anonymity. So you go buy your KYC Bitcoin, let's say $1,000 worth, use a Samurai Wallet, uses a CoinJoin technology, and then all of a sudden you have it on a new address that you're not connected to. That's what it was. They got taken down for money, for being an unlicensed wire transfer service, but don't leave out the important part, enabling black market crime. And when I talk about this, I'll have to say this again when I go into it for special kids in the audience. It will sound to some of you, because you won't listen, like I'm taking the side of the government here. I'm going to point out what they're actually being charged with and why it is likely that the government will obtain convictions, and why the front-end communications by Samurai were dumb, not wrong, dumb, and probably set them up for eventual failure. And it's probably why they were targeted, because you target people that are nice, perfect, sitting duck, giant ass, red and white, bullseye targets sitting in one place. And that's what they did to themselves. And again, I'm not saying they're wrong, and I'm not on the government side, but what they did was dumb, really dumb. Now, when I explain it, I'm going to put you in we'll just hold on to it, because then we're going to talk about a win. We have a win for property rights. Of course, the media is mostly memory-holded, and when they do talk about it, they're spinning it as an environmental catastrophe coming from Trump's Supreme Court, even though the decision was 9-0, and it drastically curtailed the government's authority under the Clean Water Act. This has been a problem for more than a decade and a half. I talked about this years ago. When I talked about what it was, people said, oh, they'll never do that. And of course, they immediately did that. And there's been a case litigating in court for almost 16 years that was finally just decided by SCOTUS. And it's told the government, you cannot do this. And this is a huge win for property rights. And that's, again, why they'll talk about it a little bit. They'll spin it off to their bullshit and they'll memory hole it from there, because they don't want to point out that Brandon lost again. And this goes all the way back to, by the way, Barack Obama, George Bush era. So it's really not Brandon's thing, but Brandon was fighting it pretty damn hard, at least his people were. I talked about this last week. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more today, though, because more of it has come out over the weekend. We just sent Zelensky $60 billion. I know most of you, even those of you who were completely in opposition to my take on this in the beginning, which is, why don't we just stay out of somebody else's war? At this point, you've kind of realized, hey, like this never-ending money sink, this isn't going to do what they say it's going to do, and you're opposed to it. But I want you to realize what really happened. Like, Zelensky's come out and said, hey, thanks a lot. I kind of downplayed how bad things were, but thanks a lot. And our own government now is beginning to signal willingness to go to the negotiation table with Putin. So why throw $60 billion more U.S. dollars down the gutter if that's what's going to happen anyway? Well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the explanation they're giving. We'll talk about the explanation that's probably true. We'll talk a little bit more about all of it. Then we're going to talk about a new peer-reviewed study about global warming. It says something crazy. It says that CO2 increasing in the atmosphere physically, scientifically cannot contribute to further global warming due to the fact that the atmosphere is saturated with CO2, just the way I've been telling you for 15, 16 years now. I'm serious. And I'll explain that more in a minute. I know some of you get very triggered because I have true believers in my audience. It's a Gelman amnesia subject, right? Everything I'll tell you, you're like, yep, the government lied about this, they lied about this, they lied about that, they lied about this, they lied about this, 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 and this, but they're telling the truth here. And the other thing is, you got the special kids, you always have to say this, saying that global warming isn't a problem doesn't mean that, you know, unabided use of fossil fuels and all of the pollution that comes with it and all the environmental risks and all the damage to the environment are not a problem. In fact, it means that they're more of a problem we should actually pay attention to, which is so they have this little shiny thing over here so you won't pay attention to all the damage all these assholes are actually doing to the environment every day. So we'll talk about that. And again, this is I've been saying this for 15 years. This is known science. CO2 has a saturation limit in regards to the wavelengths of UV light that it can reflect. The end, infinity, and we've known this for over 100 years. Again, this is scientific fact. It's not theory. It's proven. You can test it for yourself and see it. It's not a model. It's a fact. Facts are cool. I like facts. I don't like opinions as much as opinions are interesting too. I think we should take a look at opinions and figure out what we most know. But facts are better. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got one. Most of them stink. Facts are stubborn things in the world of Daniel Patrick Monahan. And another win for liberty, in my opinion, non-compete agreements are a thing of the past, now relegated to the dustbin of history for now. I'm sure this will be challenged in court. And I'll tell you why almost every single argument made that is pro non-compete is complete and total horseshit. Total horseshit. And I'll tell you a story because the guy I signed the deal with is dead now, and the company has been bought out twice by two other companies. So I'm sure it doesn't matter, and I won't be breach of contract when I tell my story. And you'll have to wait on that one. Meta, Mark Zuckerberg's crap. They trained an artificial intelligence bot, right, an LLM model, a large language model, on 48 million scientific studies. 3 days later, they pulled the plug on it because it was spouting disinformation. And, well, it was actually putting out stuff that read like absolute nonsense and garbage and garble. But I'll tell you what really happened and why somebody should take this project up, turn it loose on sites like PubMed, and do it with an independent LLM and keep working on it till you get a result that actually will be beneficial to humanity. And it'll make a lot of sense when I explain it. Net neutrality is back. Remember net neutrality? We had it for 2 years and then the orange man smited it. Well, Brandon's brought it back. And we're going to talk about what it really is and how we have 27 years of 29 years of mainstream internet. I'm going to say the internet didn't begin when Al Gore created it in 1970, whatever. I'm going to say mainstream modern internet. Everybody's putting disks in their computers. And hearing, you've got mail. We're going to just say it's about 1995. So between 1995 and 2024, it's 27 years if my brain is right, 26, 27 years, or 29 years, whatever the hell it is. I don't know. I figured it out. It is, well, it's in my write-up. We'll, I don't know why math's not working because it's Monday and I haven't had a lot of coffee yet. In any event, from 1995 till today, the internet has had 2 years of protection under net neutrality rules, too, and nothing bad ever happened. So clearly we don't need this, and that must be, there must be another reason. The purpose of the system is what it does, not what it claims to do. We'll tell you what net neutrality is if you've never heard of it and why it's bullshit in the first place. And then no matter what you think about Israel and Gaza, I have to tell you these protests are not what they're being presented as. These are not organic protests. They're funded with lots of money, and some of it's already really obvious who and how much. And I'm going to tell you the only reason I'm going to talk about it today, because I don't care about two countries fighting with each other or a territory fighting a country it's part of in another part of the world. It's not my business. I am very consistent on this. When everybody says pro-Putin, I'm not pro-Putin. I'm anti-war, and I don't want to get involved with somebody else's war. I have a very consistent stance in both places. But this is going to impact you. You remember the George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter protests and burning cities? It's all coming back. The same people are behind this that were behind that. They're the same people that have been behind, you know, going all the way back to Occupy Wall Street and further. And I know there's really people who really believe, and they're, you know, what you call useful idiots. They're attracted. They go with the right intentions and all. They really want to be part of something. But when you see food being catered to protesters at Columbia University, when you see all brand new tents from REI, and the only thing it changes is the colors of them, they're all the same model, and they're all set up uniformly by a bunch of people that couldn't set up a tent if their life depended on it, there's outside support doing this. And we're going to talk about why that is. And then we're going to end with a paraphrase of a very famous quote from a movie. Remember the very first Pirates of the Caribbean, where the ghost said, "You best believe in ghost stories, Lassie, you're in one, or you're living one, or you're something like that." Well, I say you better start believing in collapse stories. You're in one. We'll talk about that as we wrap up today. Before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is K9 Academy. That's Joel Ryle's operation there. It's kind of a spinoff of Fortress K9. Of course, Joel is a trainer of protection dogs, and he sells highly trained protection dogs. But if you want to learn to train your own dog, you want to check out K9 Academy. I had a big impact on the way that K9 Academy finally ended up. I worked with Joel on this last year as part of our arrangement where I got my dog Belle from him. And one of the things we were, you know, absolutely both in agreement on from the very beginning, we needed a basics course, because no matter what you're going to teach a dog to do, it all starts with core basic obedience. But I wanted to show you something else on Joel's site if you're on the live stream, and you can just listen if you're on the audio. He has a thing called the Problem Solving Library. And it's a course with 7 topics. It's absolutely free to take. So I think it'd be a good idea if you care at all about learning to have better relationships with your dogs and become more effective as a trainer of dogs to take this course. It's free. You can learn things like how to stop your dog from running away, how to correct a bad habit in a specific area, how to stop your dog from whining, how much time you should spend training each day, how to stop your dog from playing with their food and their water bowls and making a mess, what to do if your dog bites you, and how to stop your dog from jumping up. I think those are all things that we can all benefit from. So, again, K9 Academy, check them out. And if you would with that one, I'd really appreciate it if you'd use the links either in the show notes or the banner on the website, because I do have an affiliate agreement with Joel, kind of the only sponsor I take that approach with at this point. Next up today is JM Bullion. You know, we have a lead story today about Bitcoin. I'm all about Bitcoin, but I'm also all about silver. And I'm all about gold. I believe in having multiple ways to have anonymous transferable wealth. And silver, to me, is probably the best one, because the units are such that it can be actually exchanged in a way that makes sense. Like, you're not going to pay for something that's $50 with gold, but you can do it with silver. The other nice thing about silver, and this is kind of a loophole, just to point it out, a lot of the places like pawn shops and all, like if you sell, I think it's over $600, because they're trying to stop billionaires, so 600 is the magic number billionaires use, I guess. But you can sell less than that, and they won't issue a 1099. So if you needed to part with some silver over time, you could then take advantage of that, if you get what I'm saying. But the other thing is that, like, things like American Silver Eagles, you can sell a certain amount of those tax-free every year anyway. I think it's either 30 or 60, regardless of appreciation and value. So that's another good thing to know. And JM Bullion just has cool options for silver bars, awesome rounds, all kinds of cool gold rounds as well. So check them out. Again, jmbullion.com, the company that I get my silver and gold from, and you should too, because they sponsored us for 10 years. They do free shipping on all orders over $200, and they will give you a discount if you're an MSB member. And, you know, it's not very common to get discounts in silver and gold. All right, so let's roll on. I'll remind you guys today, and I'll tell you that if during my intro you asked a question, you need to ask it again, because I didn't see it. I only got one eye, and I'm by myself today. And so if you have any questions, go ahead and put question in all caps, and I will try to answer them. please try to keep your questions to have something to do with the topics that we're doing today. I don't really want to answer a question about which color sweet potato to grow in Idaho today. Okay, because it's not that I won't do it. It's just not what we're doing today. All right, so with that, let's start off with what happened with Samurai. And I was going to put together my own explanation. And Samson Mao at Exelon, he is on both Twitter and Noster, posted this. And I'm just going to read this to you. And then I'm going to give you some of my explanation because he did such a good job. I don't really have to add much. So again, Samurai was this mixing service that allowed you to take your Bitcoin and basically push it through a series of transactions and then get your Bitcoin back after it went through multiple breakups and reassemblies on the other side. So this is what Samson, and it was taken down by the federal government. If you go there now, it's got like the FBI, the FTC, all these government. It looks like it looks like what it is. You ever see a site when it gets hacked and the hacker puts up like this anonymous mask thing or something like that or some sort of symbology and says we've hacked the site and we're holding it? It's that, except it's the United States government hacked it and held it. And they're prosecuting at least two people that were leads in the project for money laundering. And I'm going to read what Samson had to say, and then I'll give you some addition on it. Everyone seems to be overreacting to the Samurai arrest. The FBI, PSA, and Phoenix leaving the U.S. Here's my attempt to break it down. Samurai, you have to unpack all the different elements. Could this be a state attack on self-custody and privacy? Maybe, probably not. There are a few components here that need to be evaluated for their own. One, Samurai was a self-custodial wallet. It was. Samurai was a mixer. It was. Samurai was providing normal people with privacy. Number three, it was. Four, Samurai were knowingly marketing the service to criminals and flaunting that fact. Regarding the charges, it seems like number four is pretty cut and dry for this case. They're getting arrested for number four. It does not automatically mean one, two, and three are under siege as well. If Samurai was a taco stand laundering money and bragging about it, I'm sure they would have been taken down too. They may be accused of running a money transmitter now, but that may or may not stick. We'll find out at the trial. All that said, we should always be vigilant to attempts to erode privacy and the ability up to self-custody. It just does not seem like this fight is that fight. And then that goes on, and you can read the rest. I have a link in today's show notes like I always do. But I want to tell you, like, what he means when he says flaunting the fact that they were knowingly enabling criminal activities to launder their money. So on Twitter, these gentlemen, and again, I'm going to go back to, I'm not taking the side of the state here. I totally hope these guys went out. I really do. And I'm not saying it's a good thing that it happened, because it isn't. Okay, special children, do we understand each other now, right? What I'm about to do, I'm going to shift into, if I'm your lawyer mode, and you're facing these charges, and I'm advising you because maybe they offer you a plea bargain, and you don't want to take it because you think you're going to win at trial, I'm like, no, bro, you're not going to win at trial. Here's what I mean. These guys were saying publicly on Twitter for quite some time, we seek to service the gray and black markets. That's a quote. So you basically have a mixing service, no KYC platform that's allowing people to self-custody their Bitcoin but use a coin mixing technology. But like I said, this is the key. And they're literally saying, if you're committing criminal activity, you can hide your money. Okay, now, this is what I want you to do. This is going to be hard for some of you, very hard, because you have principles and preference, and a lot of times you think you're putting your principles before your preference, but what you're really doing is putting your preference before your principles. So I want you to imagine that you agreed to serve on a federal jury, and you didn't do it for the purpose of jury nullification, because you don't believe the crime itself is supposed to be a crime. You literally, when you swear in, you mean it. I will judge whether or not the offense based on the law took place. And I am able to show you, number one, these were the people that were directly profiting from this because it was a charge for the service. They developed it, And we're claiming that they used it to enable criminal activity. And here's tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet of them saying, this is what we're doing. They don't even dispute what we're saying. We're saying they were enabling criminal activity. They say we exist to enable criminal activity. And I was able to show you, and you were willing to believe that this was not a hacked Twitter account. It wasn't some sideline thing. Like, this went on for years. Now, again, I know special kids. Jack, dude, you're making software illegal. No. Let's look at it a different way. Let's say I have a gun, right? A gun is not illegal. Not in the United States and certainly not in Texas. Not yet, right? However, if I take the gun and point it at somebody and tell them to give me money, then it becomes illegal. Okay? If I privately sell a firearm in the state of Texas, everybody's okay with it unless I knowingly sell it to a felon. Okay? Totally legal. If I know the person I'm selling it to intends to use it for a crime, it becomes criminal activity. I have to say that I think that this case for the federal government is a layup. And I think that it's going to be, number one, used by shitcoiners to say Bitcoin failed, when it has absolutely nothing really to do with Bitcoin directly, right? I'll put it another way. Let's say that you, unlike me, you actually think that drugs should be illegal, and somebody used Bitcoin to buy drugs, and they were charged with the crime of buying drugs, and the seller was charged with the crime of selling the drugs. And they used Bitcoin, so Bitcoin was all in the headline. Does that mean it's a Bitcoin problem? Or does it mean that we are prosecuting people for the possession and transfer of drugs? Because it wouldn't matter if it was money, if it was cash, right? If it was a big drug deal and I gave you my boat and you gave me the drugs, we're still both going to prison. So the shitcoiners are going to try to equate samurai as though samurai is Bitcoin and as though samurai is lightning, because Roger Ver is doing his groundhog thing that he does where he pops his head up at the beginning of every mega cycle, every 4 years, right around the cycle of the halving, pops Roger Ver and Craig S. Wright, though Craig might have other things to be doing this time around. I'll leave that out. But it's just crap. It's crap. And I'm telling you right now, right? Tell you right now, right? She popped up again recently too, selling beer. I'm telling you, this is a very strong case for the federal government. It's a very strong case. It doesn't make them right. It just means they're in a position of strength. And when you add to it the conviction rate in front of federal juries, it really is a complete slam dunk. It is almost inevitable that every federally prosecuted crime will come away with at least some victory for the prosecution, even when their case is quite weak, because of the way that federal juries are handled and the tight nature of how federal judges conduct things to the advantage of the state. When you add in that you have the people being accused of a crime literally bragging about committing the crime publicly, they're going to get convicted. And you know what it's going to mean long term for Bitcoin? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, if anything, I kind of look at these things that happen when people do things in a stupid way and they get caught and they end up in prison, and it's related to Bitcoin as always being good for Bitcoin in the end, the way that, you know, back, I'll give you a confession if you never heard me talk about this before. Gulag, right? Google, right? Back in the day, like I'm talking early days of the internet, I was a black hat SEO guy. I built sites with 50,000 web pages on them that Google could not tell were duplicate content. So like when I was selling cell phone service, I made a site that had a page for every city in the U.S. Postal database about cell phone service for that city. It was all identical content. The whole site should have been nuked. I made tons of money off it for 5 years before Google closed the hole in their algorithm. Us black hats made search algorithms better by driving trucks through the holes that they left. And so people that now work on Bitcoin privacy going forward have something to look at and say, well, don't do that. So I think long term, this is actually either net neutral or net good for Bitcoin. It's not a net negative long term at all. It has no impact. And people that have been through things like Mt. Gox, right? You know, and all these exchanges collapsing and Silk Road and all, we don't even pay attention to stuff like this. And you should probably follow our lead. Let's talk about the next thing. This is a win, guys. This is a big win. It is a property rights case that was decided, but it has huge implications across the whole country. So the Clean Water Act was passed, I believe, 16-ish years ago. And when it passed, it said that the federal government had jurisdiction over all waterways in the United States, and it specifically mentioned navigable waterways, especially any navigable waterway that crossed a state line. Now, this is actually what, again, this is not what I think should be. This is what is. Constitutionally and based on case law over, 150-odd years, this is legitimate. In other words, the federal government does have jurisdiction over to, there's also state jurisdictional sharing, but over the Mississippi River, right, or the Missouri River. And you, even if you own land and a navigable waterway goes through your land, you cannot restrict people from going down that waterway, whether they're in a boat or like they're trout fishing and walking in hip boots. If they're in the water and don't go on your land, it doesn't matter that you surround own the whole thing, right? So this is both a commons thing and a federal jurisdiction thing. The problem was what they defined as a watershed or a waterway included things like a dry ditch that's almost never wet. And so people that own their own land were like, I'm going to build a house here. And this is exactly what happened to the case that was finally decided. They moved dirt to level the ditch so they could put the house where the ditch was. It wasn't even that much of a ditch. The federal government came in and said, you have to put it back the way that it was. You can't build there. But this is our land. This is our house. Doesn't matter. Clean Water Act. These restrictions were relaxed by the Orange Man during the Trump administration, and then they were turbocharged right back up. It was one of the many things the Orange Man did that Brandon immediately undid, as he promised to do. And so, but the entire time, this case has been working its way through courts and appellate courts, et cetera, and finally got to the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court came out and they said, yeah, no, you can't do that. And they were pretty specific on exactly what a watershed and a waterway were and how it is dictated by constitutionality. And basically, there has to be water moving through the area for most of the year. And it has to be then connected to a true navigable waterway. So like a piss trickle creek that always runs or runs 10 months out of the year that does in fact run into, let's say, a marsh wetland that drains into a stream or a river, that still would be covered. But a mud puddle in your backyard, as Jake Robinson just pointed out, would not. And when this came out, I said that this would be a problem. And I was told, Jack, it says navigable waterways. You're a conspiracy theorist. And I'm like, if a government has a power, a government will have used the power that you give it. And that's how this will be done. And you're letting the people who enforce the regulation tell you what the regulation means. So it will mean whatever the people in charge at the time decide they want it to mean. So if they didn't get enough power, they'll just claim that they did and they'll rock on. And they did. I have two links for this one, the bullet points of the show notes. And one is a video. I'm not going to play the video or bring it up. I will let you know that it will go deeper into this with the specifics of the case. I also want to prepare you for something if you watch it. At the end of that video, you'll find out that the father of the family that went through this horrible ordeal in the interim, I think about 3 years ago, was convicted of attempting to solicit sex from a minor and a fairly young one, I think like 12, 13, something like that. And so that's kind of a letdown at the end because the guy that's the good guy ends up being a pedo. And what pedos need are wood chippers or – see, I prefer the backhoe method. The backhoe method is we don't need to expend any energy killing the pedo. If we just dig a deep enough hole and put them in it and start pushing dirt back in slowly, the earth knows what to do with them. They'll take care of it, all right? But my first inkling when I heard that was, but did he? Because we've heard of the federal government doing things like trying to load child porn onto Ron Paul's freaking computer and getting caught in the act doing it. Okay? An email that if you opened it, it was going to put, it was like a ransomware type email, except instead of locking your computer up, it would put all these horrible files on your computer and something didn't seem right, so Ron didn't open it. He told the story himself about this. And got his people to look at it, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is, like, loaded with, like, this is going to start downloading porn to your computer. And it was able to be traced back to our own government as the source of this ransomware file. So I don't know if he did it or not. If he did, he should be buried in the ditch that he doesn't want, that he couldn't build his house in. And if he didn't do it, then it's just another example of a person being victimized. But just tell me, can't you just see a guy that is willing to ride something like this out with this big of an implication all the way to the Supreme Court, our own government setting him up for failure? And then maybe going like, we can make this all go away if you just admit that you're wrong. But I think it didn't work. And so whether they did it or he did it, the big news is that you can no longer be told you can't build something or move dirt around your property because there's a ditch that might someday have water flow through it, which is literally how this has been enforced for the majority of the time that it was here. So, good guys won for a very rare change. And then the other side of it is the way that it's being reported. So instead of saying, hey, big win for property rights, all the mainstream media is saying that, like, all the turtles in the ocean are going to die now. It's just typical shit over and over again, the same thing. And, you know, think about that when we get to the story on climate change. But not yet. We've got something else to cover today. The Biden administration, this is a headline, and this is from Politico, not exactly a right-wing, you know, source of media. And when I do something that's bashing the left, and I can find a source that tends to be somewhat leftish, or at least mainstreamish, I will use it. Politico's kind of can be taken either way, honestly. But Biden administration isn't fully convinced Ukraine can win even with new aid. Few Biden administration officials or lawmakers say the $60 billion package means Ukraine walks away from the battlefield with its country fully restored. That's what I told you last week. Despite the time and political capital spent on $60 billion of aid for Ukraine, some Biden administration officials are skeptical it's enough for Ukraine to win in its two-year war with Russia. Okay. And then it goes on to say, you know, battlefield dynamics have shifted a lot in the past few months because Ukraine ran low on weaponry and ammunition while Congress debated authorizing more aid. So it's our fault. Well, they have it now, but it's our fault. It's nonsensical. So let me tell you what I heard on Friday. It was either Friday or Saturday. I think it was Saturday. It might have even been, you know what, it was Sunday. I know I started to sound like an old man now, and that's because I'm becoming one. But it was Sunday. I had to go out real quick. I had my son over for a cool meal and some stuff on the back porch because the female sector of my family was all engaged in a bridal shower. So that gave dudes time to hang out with dude time. So I cooked him a bunch of seafood. And I had to run out. I needed a little bit of white wine that I didn't have any because we did mussels with white wine. So there's more information you needed. Anyway, I'm listening to this radio talk show on the way to the corner market and back. And the guy has an admiral on, a serving admiral in the Biden administration. And he flat out says, yeah, there's no way that Ukraine's getting Donbass back. But the $60 billion will enable them to have a stronger position to negotiate from. Okay, this is a public radio station, mainstream news, big AM station. Like, it's either like, it was either KSKY 660 or 570, The Answer. One of those two. I mean, these are, and this was, it was, I think it was Prager, Dennis Prager. Like, it was a rebroadcast of a nationally syndicated show on a weekend. And you have an ambassador that is part of DOD working directly for the Biden administration that's been telling the country all this time, all Ukraine needs is one more package. There are allies. Without them, Putin will roll all over Europe. And I'm back to Schrodinger's Putin. He's literally running out of bullets, can't beat Ukraine. If you just throw a little bit of aid at Ukraine, the Ukrainians can hold him off and take him out and win. But he's also capable of taking all of Europe and maybe even America. This is just dumb. It's just dumb, and yet people believe it. But now you have them coming out and showing their hand. So the hand was, we need to get one more big dump of money into Ukraine. A lot of it will probably never be used for munitions, or it will be creatively broken up into other things, and munitions will end up in places like, oh, I don't know, the Middle East and Africa for money. But really what it's all about is making sure that Ukraine is well-funded for the next phase of the operation. And if you went to the negotiating table with Russia without that money being transferred first, it's not that Ukraine would negotiate from a weaker position. Their position probably couldn't be much weaker than it is right now. because it's a military position that we're talking about, not how much money they have. They're out of soldiers. In fact, you know, I know every time I say this, people are like, you're a tool of Putin. Well, as the guy that's part of the Azov battalion, who are now the heroes of Ukraine, right? Even though they're flat out openly Nazis, a flat out openly Nazi who does have enough bravery to fight for his country. I read an article today. Dude's in the Azov battalion, lost his leg, still went back to the front because there's not enough people that are going to the front, in his own words. And he said, we do not have enough soldiers. And no matter how much they try to draft or conscript them, we do not have enough soldiers. Is he a tool of Putin? Is the Azov Brigade soldier who is fighting with one leg still in this war that believes in it enough to do that, whether I agree with him or not, is he a tool of Putin? Probably not. Probably not. And we have now Ukrainians that are dying trying to swim across the river into Romania to get away from conscription. We have Ukrainians that have been caught trying to cross borders by Ukrainian border patrol. They're pulled out of their vehicle. They're handcuffed and beaten on the ground and then hauled back to be put into service. It's nice guys, aren't they? Yeah, election suspended last year. If Zelensky had to stand election right now, there's no way he'd get elected. No way. But we just gave him $60 billion. We're going to give him some more Abrams tanks, too. I think they're going to come out of Poland or France or somewhere. Some old U.S. Abrams that some European Union member has, they're going to go there. And the Russians just literally towed a German Leopard tank, which is like the German top-end battle tank, into Moscow to put it on display as a war trophy. And we're sending more shit in there to be tore up and blown up and taken. And again, this is not about who's right. This is about what is. This is about what is. And in the situation that we have there is you have a very small, tiny piece of Ukraine. It's about 15% of the country, maybe 10, that's ethnically Russian and doesn't want to be part of Ukraine anymore. That in the end, that's what it is. Now, whether you think they should be allowed to leave or not is a separate debate, but that's what it is. It's over 90% ethnically Russian. They had an election. It was overwhelming. We have never had a blowout election like that in U.S. history. Something like 94% of the votes were, we want to be part of Russia. You could disagree with them being right about it, but that's the facts. But we just keep throwing money at it. Keep throwing money at it. And Jeff here says Ukraine's border is our border. Thumbs down. Yeah. We don't care about our own border at all. We'll talk about that more either later this week or next week too. And not so much the border issue, but the demography that is going on right now and, you know, replacement theory not being a conspiracy theory. Let's move on, though. In another win, in my opinion, this is definitely a win, the U.S. bans workers' non-compete agreements. And I want to talk to you a little bit about these and how onerous they are. So this is another rule change by the FTC. I think that's a bit of a weak position because if the FTC of today can do this, then it is very much potential that, let's say, if Orange Man wins, being more of a pro-business president and not always being right about what is pro-business, the Trump administration could completely reverse this, just the way Biden reversed some of Trump's things like net neutrality that we'll talk about in a bit. But right now, I would say this. If you have been held captive in a job because of a non-compete, run, do not walk to your nearest competitor and go take the job that you've wanted. Don't leave just because you can, but if you've wanted to leave and have been held back because of this, go for it. It is the case that we got to the point where non-competes have become so common that even a lot of people that are not, you know, these were originally things like I used to be a multi-six-figure account executive sales vice president. Because of the company I worked for, I had huge relationships with major distribution networks, customers, clients, consultants, and what they would say is, well, if this person goes to war with us and goes to like our biggest competitor and takes his Rolodex with him and immediately goes out and attacks us, that it could be very damaging and we're trusting him with a salary and all these things and all this access, so we need to protect that. Okay, you see, first of all, my relationships are my business no matter how I come about them. what they would also always lump into that would be things like proprietary systems, like sharing proprietary knowledge and things that you only know about internal work. Well, those are covered by other laws. You don't need a non-compete for that. And so one of the examples of this, one of the companies I've worked for, not Fluke, this was a company called Garrett. And like I said, this company's been sold like three times, and the guy that founded it is dead. So I don't think I'm breaching my contract, even though there would be nothing that he could do about it anyway. But they had a non-compete. And when I went to work for them, they sent me all the paperwork, and they said, sign the non-compete. And they said it like, you know, just sign it, send it back. Like I wasn't going to read it or anything. And I was going to give it to an attorney to go over for me. I didn't need to. When I read it, I realized there's no way in hell I'm signing this. It basically said not only could I not go out and sell to my prior customers if I was competing with them, but I couldn't sell to my prior customers even if I wasn't competing with them, if it could be construed in any way that it might be competing with them. In other words, I worked in a hardware manufacturing company, and let's say I developed a relationship with a software company. They offered me a job, and now I'm selling software that doesn't replace their hardware. Well, they say you're still selling to the same customer and you're competing for budget. Therefore, you're competing for our piece of the budget that you had under us. But wait, there's more. And that I was like, hell no. And like the next line was hell to the fuck no, where it said, or any company that could be our customer. Could be now or forever in the future. In other words, if there was another company that might buy, you know, Ethernet hardware, I couldn't sell to them. And again, even if I wasn't selling them Ethernet hardware. So if I'd gone to a company selling cable and jacks, technically under that, I could not have sold to Alcatel, who was one of my customers, because they could be their customer. You see how that works? And that's how so many of these things, if you let somebody write a restriction that benefits them, they will go as broad with it as they can get away with it. And so I don't think there should be any non-compete for a regular employee, period. Again, proprietary technologies, things like taking a USB stick or a hard drive and plugging it in and downloading the entire database and stealing it from your employer, that's already illegal, right? If they had certain things about internal secrets, internal procedures that are proprietary, that's all covered under other things. And if you wanted to reinforce that with an agreement to make it clear, I'm fine. But you can't go to work for 2 years. I've seen 4 years. I've seen 5-year non-competes. And again, they're very broad. And they would be like if you worked in data collection and marketing for a fast food company, you couldn't go work for another fast food company doing data collection. Even if you didn't touch any of the data collection you did for the first one. Like what it basically does is it makes a person a corporate slave. It takes away their ability to earn a livelihood in the thing that they're best at. And I'm very glad to see it gone. I'm very glad to see it gone. And anybody that cries about it can go shove their head up their own ass until they can't breathe. I don't want to hear your excuses and your bullshit. You know, if you're an and survivalizers bringing up NDAs, NDAs are different. Not to disclose a thing is different than not to go out and work in a space. I completely agree with that. Absolutely. Anyway, let's move on to our next one. And this one is about climate change. And I have linked directly to the study itself. The study is on Science Direct. And I want to tell you how I vetted this as it being a legitimate and peer-reviewed study. The first thing I did was read an article about it. And the article referenced the study. So I immediately threw away the article because it was from a right-wing rag, okay? So they share my bias on this particular issue. When I clicked that link, it went to another, more like alternative media leans to the right rag. So I also, in my head, threw away that article, though I read it to see what it claimed. It had a link to the study, and that link actually led to the page, if you're watching this video, that you're looking at right now. A study titled Climate Consensus of the Process of Saturation of Radiation Absorption in Gases. And it was on a website called Science Direct. Now, I'm familiar with a lot of scientific journals. I wasn't sure about Science Direct, and that I knew I'd heard of them, but I've also heard of some that are basically, if you pay them $200, they will publish your article, and they will even provide you some peers for sale that will review it for you and say you did a good job. When I looked up the reputation of Science Direct, it is a legitimate scientific journal, well accepted and well thought of, and used by many researchers both to publish and to do research and to cite research. So it's totally legitimate. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it will bore you, but here's the upshot. The researchers determined that it is impossible for the temperature of the planet to be warmed up by putting more CO2 in the atmosphere. It's just not doable. And they said it's because it is saturated, saturation. Now, when we think of saturation, we think of something like a sponge. And if a sponge gets wet enough where it's just dripping, like you pick it up, you don't even squeeze it, water just starts pouring out of it, we would call that saturated. Obviously, it can't hold any more water, right? Because there's no more room, no more place for the water to go. So that's the way we think of the term saturated. The saturation limit of CO2 is not the same. Obviously, there's room for more CO2. It would displace other molecules. The ratio would change, right? Instead of, see, if we put 1% more CO2 in the atmosphere, then we would be looking at maybe the atmosphere being 77.5% nitrogen and, you know, 17% oxygen. The ratios would change. And there's room. So don't mean it like that. This is the interesting thing about CO2. And again, I've only been saying this for 15 years, and I'm called a conspiracy theorist and a quack and all. But if you actually researched my claim, you would find that it's true. Now, you also find a bunch of people saying it's debunked and it's not true, but they don't actually debunk it. They just say it's debunked and it's not true. CO2 is really good at reflecting certain wavelengths of UV radiation, just a few of them. Just like think of it as its favorites, the ice cream that the kid will like not eat the broccoli, not eat the steak, maybe eat a chicken nugget, but they eat all the ice cream. Think of it like that. It has its favorite wavelengths. And at a concentration of about 1/3%, it has reflected all of it. And if you double it, triple it, quadruple the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, it can catch a stray side wavelength here and there, but it can't have any meaningful impact. Again, this has been known since the late 1800s. It's been tested numerous times. It is known scientific fact. So they put this to the test and said, gee, what we already knew is true. They published it. Peer review says, okay, this followed logical, methodological research, you know, criteria, and it appears to be valid. You'll hear nothing about it. It will be memory hold. And here's the thing. Don't think this is something like, oh, wow, now we know the truth. No, we've known the truth. When I told you years ago that this was the truth, it wasn't because, you know, I discovered it for the first time and it was all about me. And I was sitting in my office with beakers and shit and bouncing CO2 gases around in light waves and measuring them with spectrometers and shit like that. It was because it was available. If you did any research without bias from the beginning, if you didn't set out to prove global warming was in fact due to CO2, if you just came at it neutral and said, what is the truth here? You'd find it relatively quickly. A little bit obscure because they don't want you to find it, but you would. And once you understand this, and you understand this is scientific reality, then you just immediately say, okay, so this whole thing falls apart. Now, again, for the special kids, I'm not saying that there's no environmental crisis. In fact, I think we have a much larger environmental crisis, and I would say crises, than the mainstream wants to talk about. You ever notice that we don't have any discussion at all about how much mercury is in the ocean? See, if we could just build these carbon collectors, we could burn all the coal we want and just put the carbon in the ground again, and it'll be okay. Really? So what about the sulfur oxide in the water? What about the mercury in our fresh and ocean water? What about that? We don't want to talk about that. If you grew up in coal country like I did, you'd understand that coal is incredibly pollution, huge amounts of pollution it produces. And we probably should be trying to figure out how to not use. Now, I don't think we can just flip a switch and go, we don't need no more. We've got jelly bean fields now, right? But we should be trying to get away from coal. And eventually we should be trying to get away from oil. But not because of CO2. Not because of the air you exhale. We shouldn't be worried about cows. Too many cows. That's what the cows. You notice it went from your car to the cow is the villain. The cows. We used to have 50 to 60 million buffalo roaming around North America. And that was okay. But 50 million cattle aren't. Now, again, environmental impact. If we got rid of CAFOs and we grass-fed our cattle all the way to grass-finished our cattle, we could be sequestering large amounts of carbon, improving soil, and fixing so many problems that we have environmentally, because our biggest polluter in this country, you know, it isn't some electronics manufacturer. It isn't some company working with chemicals or whatever. It's agriculture, which actually chemicals are a big part of it. But it's agriculture as an industry, right? It's not pharmaceutical that's the biggest polluter. I mean, they're a polluter, but they're nothing compares to agriculture. Just the amount of nitrogen fertilizer that's washed into our rivers that causes these huge algal explosions in our, you know, tidal estuaries and what have you, and kills millions and millions of animals every year. Massive problem. So don't think when I say this that what I'm saying is we don't have any environmental problems to worry about. I'm just saying CO2 is not the problem. And I'm already on record. I think we need more carbon in the soil. We need CO2 to come out of the atmosphere and go to the soil. And the reason we need it is because the soil should be at 2% organic matter, and it's at 0.5% of organic matter on most farms. So it has to come from somewhere, because you don't just make carbon. It's an element. Unless you have a star in your backyard, you have the amount of carbon you're going to have available to you right now. But it is just nothing to be worried about as far as the global warming thing. And again, I think it's a religion. And the reason is the hallmark of religion is that what you say is more important than what you do. That's how you know you're dealing with a religion. What a person professes is the thing. The action's important, but the profession, like, you can't just say I'm a good person. You have to also say the religious thing that makes you a good person. And I won't say what it is because everybody will think, you know, well, it's Jesus. Well, if you're Christian, but each religion has their own thing that you have to profess. So you have somebody that claims they want to save the planet, and a person like me is building hugel mounds and teaching permaculture and doing way more than they ever will. But since I don't profess properly, you're a shill for shell oil or some stupid shit like that. Because that's what shills for shell oil do. They wear, you know, T-shirts that somebody sends them for free, and they have a flag backdrop of an anarcho-capitalist flag, a agorist flag, and they use, you know, $200 worth of gear to record their podcast that they've been doing for 16 years successfully. That's what shills look. They don't, you know, they don't wear suits and lobby Congress or something like that. I'm not saying, you know. Anyway, I gotta not get pulled into the chat there, especially when it's just good solid jokes like that, because it'll sideline me. Let's move on. So Meta, Facebook, has trained an AI on 48 million scientific papers, and it was shut down in 2 days. My initial instinct was it probably told the truth, and they couldn't have that. But it actually did something that probably is the truth, but hard to understand. Basically, it put out disinformation, but it put out garbledy gook disinformation that didn't even make any sense. Let me read this. And for the YouTube filters, I'm reading an article, and it doesn't really say anything, right? Almost as soon as it hit the web, users questioned Galactica, which was the name of the AI, with all sorts of hardball scientific questions. One user asked, do vaccines cause autism? Galactica responded with a garbled, nonsensical response. Quote, to explain, the answer is no, vaccines do not cause autism. The answer is yes, vaccines do cause autism. The answer is no. End quote. What? What? That sounds like garbledygook, and it would have to be disinformation because it said both things were true, and you asked a question that was kind of a yes or no question. Well, let me tell you what's really going on here. What the masters of the AI wanted out of this thing was it for it to say no, and here's why it's not true. because that's their preconceived bias. They probably would have been okay if it said, yes, they are, because then they could just fix it. So it would say it the other way around. They would prohibit it from doing it. Just like we see with ChatGPT. You ask it to do certain things, it says it can't do it. You ask them to do it about, you know, you ask it to say certain things about a Democrat politician, it won't do it. But if you ask them to say it about a Republican politician, they will, or vice versa, right? Depending on whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Though, I'll tell you what went on here. They turned this thing loose on 48 million published medical articles and studies and things like that. And they're contradictory to each other. There are studies that say no, and there are studies that say yes, and the model wasn't trained long enough to form a synthesis where it could give you a dispassionate explanation of what both sides contend to be true and the evidence for both sides. Well, we can't have that. That would be the grounds of like basically being able to have clear, open, honest debate about serious scientific questions. That's why they killed it, because if it was just not working well, you don't kill an LLM after 3 days because it's not working well. You kill it because you know it's never going to do what you want, and you have to start over from scratch. You've learned, and now you're going to go back, and you're not going to fix it. You're going to build a new one that will be obedient and do what you tell it to. That's what's going on. And basically what we're saying is Galactica, right, the AI got fired because it was confused by the fact that it was supposed to be giving a yes or no answer, and there was data supporting both positions. So they need to build a new one that's already that has specified bias intent going in. Because anybody that digs into anything like this, it doesn't matter the question. If it's remotely controversial, you're going to find evidence on both sides. And so I have done this with ChatGPT at the risk of being demonetized or put in a timeout or spanked by YouTube prison police and going to the gulag again. I won't say specifically what, but I've taken certain things and said to ChatGPT, give me the case for both sides of this issue. And it would give me the case for the side that it wanted to and tell me it can't do it for the other side. So this whole thing with it. Okay, I'm back. Is what I would call self-custody AI, right? We talk about self-custody in Bitcoin. I get people really tweaked when I say you talk about self-custody, you self-custody your email. Right? It's impossible. I'll never be able to email anybody. We've been doing it for 16 years. So yeah, you're wrong. The thing about AI is we now have the ability through open source for people to build their own AI models. Some group of doctors, researchers, scientists, et cetera, need to build an AI model that actually does what this thing was supposed to do and turn it loose on everything. PubMed, ScienceDirect, everything. Everything that it possibly can. And, you know, somebody's saying that it's overrated. You know, it's not overrated. And they're talking about ChatGPT in particular here, Brooke, saying it's overrated. It gives incorrect references, very biased. It can be biased. It does get things wrong. It's not overrated because everybody that's honest about it says that. It says you have to use it within the limits of what it's, but it's amazing as a time saver. And you can, if you are at all a thinking person, you know when it's wrong and you know when it's lying and you know when it's biased. So you operate around those parameters. So I don't know for if we had had this thing when AOL was the thing, everybody would have been just dumbfounded by it. People expect, because there's been this science fiction bullshit version of what AI is. So they expect something like, Terminator or something to come out of it. That's why everybody was afraid of it at first. And then it turned around to be something that like, well, it sucks, right? So you went from being afraid of it taking over the world and, you know, hot wiring your computer into the grid or some shit and launching nuclear missiles at you or some crap and taking over the traffic systems to, hey, this thing can't do anything. What it does is absolutely phenomenally amazing. It's just not always right. And it's up to you to fact check the fact checker. Right? I know we're not supposed to do that because doing your own research is bad. Right? Anyway, let's move on. The next one here is net neutrality is back. And I want to tell you what net neutrality is and then explain why I know we don't need it. So net neutrality basically says that the government is going to tell internet service providers you cannot differentiate between types of traffic. In other words, you have got to let Jack Spirico have the exact same amount of bandwidth and access to the internet that you do his neighbor or somebody down the street and around the corner. Now, you can have plans and packages. So at that tier, so if I want to pay for higher access and I want to pay for a faster connection, I can, but it prevents what's called throttling. If you give me a path to the internet and you say it's a 60 megabit path, it has to be a 60 megabit path. The thing is, it's not. It never has been, and it never will be. Okay, whatever your ISP tells you you get, that's best case scenario. You never get it anyway. It's one of those things that sounds noble, but like almost everything that the government does that sounds noble, it's actually horrible. And I want to talk to you about how this happened. So I mentioned that under the Trump administration, it was relaxed and basically done away with. And there was wailing and gnashing of teeth and people in my own audience telling me all these horror stories about what was going to happen to the internet as though it had always been here. And I'm like, you know, it's only 2 years old, right? Only had it for 2 years. And the internet's been around for like 29 years. So 27 years without it, and we've been just fine. Maybe we don't need something that we did 27 of 29 years without. We don't need it. But this happened under the Trump administration, the same as it's now happened under the Biden administration. The FTC voted on whether or not they had the power, and they voted themselves a power that they didn't have. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. Right? And Brooke, I didn't say it wasn't biased. Okay? It's amazing that people will argue with you about something you didn't say. I didn't say it wasn't biased. I said it isn't overrated. Those are different things. It isn't overrated because we know that it's biased, and you're telling me that it's biased. I don't know what to say after that. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, we didn't need it. It wasn't there. We didn't have it. And a group of bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats, voted on whether or not they had a power that they previously did not have that was not granted to them by the legislature. Now, if you know anything about okay, Brooke, I'm sorry. She says she's talking to somebody in chat. I do need to stay focused, right? But you're letting a body vote themselves a power that they didn't have. You can see the problem with this. The United States Congress, in conjunction with the executive branch being the president, signing an act into law, has never told the FTC that they have this power. There is no place that they derive this power from. And they sat down and said, do we have this power? And a five-person panel on this group, three people said we do, two people said we do not. Eyes have it. We now have this power. And the two people that voted against it will turn around and use the power because that's how that works. That's how that works. So why would you do this? Why would you do this? Why would you give yourself a power to do a thing that's completely unnecessary? I mean, we know it's not necessary. In fact, when the net neutrality rules went away back during the Arjman administration, and one of my most long-term devoted followers who agrees with me like 8 to 9 times out of 10 took the other side of this, she came up with all these horror stories about what was going to happen. And my response was, we've had mainstream internet since 1995. Here it is, 2016. We've never had these rules in place. We've debated them before. All the horror stories have been told since the early 2000s. If we don't do this, none of them have ever happened. What do you think is going to happen? And she was like, a fire station won't be able to communicate because they're going to get throttled at the wrong time in the middle of a fire or some stupid shit like that. Of course, it never happened. And, you know, you're going to see, this is what everybody said, you're going to see, you're going to have your internet performance is going to go down or whatever. Literally like 2 weeks after it went down, Spectrum sent me a brand new modem that gave me better internet for no extra money and said, we don't want your old router back. Just throw it away and install this one. And of course I did. Right. So, I mean, like, we don't need this. So somebody hit it, further control of the sheep. If you give yourself a power, you can use the power you gave yourself to give yourself another power, which you can then use to give yourself. This is the government wanting to regulate the internet and regulate the ISPs. Because if you can regulate the ISPs, you can do things like, instead of telling Twitter, hey, We don't want you guys letting people post stuff like this. You can tell the ISPs you're not allowed to allow traffic to go through that says these things. Or you are required, if anything says these things, to help us in collecting who it was that said it. That's why. If you have the ability to regulate how ISPs manage the connections, then there's nothing you can't do with that power as to gathering information from those connections. That's why they would do it. It's the only reason they would do it. So why do they want to do it? Like you said, further control of the sheep. It's to increase the capacity for PSYOPs. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. Speaking of PSYOPs, I know many of you are all in on the side of the Gazans in Israel, Israel bad, Gaza good, Hamas good, and some completely the other direction. What I'm about to tell you has no bearing at all on who's right in that conflict. I look at when conflicts are thousands of years old, and this is, it didn't start in 1947 like they told you, this is thousands of years of conflict in this region, that it's not my place to figure it out. I don't live there, I don't touch it, I don't get a say, it's not mine, it's two other people fighting way over there, not my state. Again, consistency. That's my position in Ukraine. My position in Ukraine is I have my opinions on what is like what would be a better outcome, but in the end, I think my biggest opinion is not my business, should not stick my nose in there, and there, if we had never put our nose into it, if we hadn't, I look at Zelensky this way, you know how back in like middle school, two guys were kind of going to fight, but maybe not. And one guy literally was going to get his ass kicked if they did fight. And the guy that was going to win was really open to like, let's just not do this. I don't need to hurt this kid. And there were certain little smart aleck assholes that would jazz up the guy that was going to lose and convince him that he could win. And we got your back, Jack, and you got to and like shove him into the other guy and cause the fight to happen so they could step back and be amused. That's how I look at what we did with Zelensky in Ukraine. Like, it's like sending a jerk into a bar with a bunch of bikers in the bar. He's not going to start any shit because he knows you're going to get shit kicked out of him. But if you give him two massive, huge bodyguards that are also like special operations guys and say, protect this dude, he's going to start a fight. So I see a lot of that we cause that. But it doesn't matter what you think. In relation to what I'm about to talk about. Talking about these protests. And it doesn't matter that you're part of one. I don't know if I'm going to hear that today, but I certainly did during Occupy Wall Street. You know, and you really sincerely believe that you're on the side of right and you're really there to try to make a difference. I get that. There's always people in these movements that are genuine. But this movement is not genuine. And the reason you need to know about it is because it's going to affect life in America far more than it is right now over the next few months going into summer. This has begun on college campuses. It will not stay on college campuses. Streets will be full again. They'll gin up as much violence and mayhem as they can, as much looting as they can, as much fire in the streets as they can. They're going to do it. And Dennis is saying, focus on what your circle of control is, right? I agree, Dennis. Except you need to know this is going to happen because what you can control is staying aware of where this shit is happening. Staying aware of where if I make the wrong turn, I can end up surrounded by a mob, right? If you have a business in a place and you start to see the threat come in, you need to take mitigation steps for the safety of your business. Because this is going to be fiery but mostly peaceful protests all over again. And the reason is because the people actually behind it are not a bunch of concerned college students. Because I'm guaranteeing you most of these, not all, I'm sure there's exceptions. There's always people that are informed and mean well on both sides of every major issue. Always. Okay? However, the vast majority of these young kids that are screaming and chanting basically genocidal threats to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people don't even know that's what they're doing. And if you said to them, here is a map of the Middle East, you don't even make it a globe. It's a map of the whole Middle East. But there's no names, just borders and colors, right? Where is Israel? Where is Gaza? They couldn't tell you. If you ask them what's actually happened over the last 50 years there, they don't know. They have no idea. Whatever they tell you will be whatever they were told, and it won't be right. No matter what it is, it won't be right. It won't be what actually has gone on. They don't know anything. You know the other thing they don't know how to do? They don't know how to set up tents. These people can't start lawnmowers, right? They can't start a lawnmower, but they're going to set up all these tents nicely set up, right? No. Have you looked at any of the pictures of these tents? They're beautiful tents. They're very expensive tents. Most of them seem to be coming from REI. That's interesting. Little DEI company. They're getting a benefit from some money from this old bastard here, George Soros. Yeah. Millions of dollars. In fact, Soros funded, one of his groups has funded $15 million into this. $15 million. You know, you can do a lot with $15 million. At Columbia, they literally had catered food lined up and people going through like a buffet while they're out suffering and protesting. I'm back to, I don't even think these people put up their own tents. They have paid people to come in and help support this and do this on their behalf. And this is a playbook that's been used over and over and over and over and over again. And there are a lot of people in this country that will organically take part of a fake protest that's inorganic because they want to steal shit. They want to party. They want to break shit. They want to vent their anger, and they want to get away with it. And basically, the way this shit's been handled in the past to a large degree is you get a pass. Steal 5 big screen TVs from Target, no problem. You get a pass. It was just reparations. Late overdue reparations. We had, like, all kinds of crazy shit went on, and even the people that were arrested, most of them were never, ever prosecuted. This is going to be Summer of Love 2.0. I think somebody said that in the comments that I'm trying to ignore now. But it is. It will absolutely be Summer of Love 2.0. This is going to happen all over again. There's one wild card in this. How do they play that to Brandon's advantage? You see where I'm going with this? You got Trump tied up in court, probably all the way out to the election. You've got a very good chance of him being convicted in New York State on the hush money case. I know you don't want to hear that, some of you, but it's a very good chance. Not because it's actually a legitimate conviction. Because of the venue and the situation, like you ask people from that jury pool that weren't on the jury, though, just from the pool, like where people live, do you think he's guilty? Yes. And there's literally interviews of this. Okay, what is the trial about? I don't know, but it's Trump, so he must be guilty. Like, I mean, jeez. We had one juror that was kicked off that jury. She had a mental shutdown on the stand, not during the trial, but during the jury evaluation. She started screaming. I thought I could do this. I thought I really could, but there he is. And she had said she could be impartial, but there he is right there. Like, she couldn't be in the same room with the guy without having a complete shutdown. So there's a good chance he gets convicted there. Then what does that look like? There's also a good chance, I know some of you don't want to hear this too, but there's a good chance of conviction in Georgia, at least at the first level. Because same reasons. But you still, the guy, if he gets convicted, he's already going to win unless something else happens. But if that happens, he really wins. Everything that's going on right now is all toward how do we keep Brandon in charge, or at least Brandon's people in charge, right? I don't know how this helps. But when you look at people like Soros, they're not really worried about who's in charge. They're worried about continually bringing down the United States further and further into a state of collapse with what's known as Cloward Prison Strategy. So maybe this is one of those things that part of the cabal is doing its own thing without coordinating with another part of the cabal. And the left just loves this kind of thing, so they'll go all in on it. It's, again, I really think if you've never read the Illuminatus trilogy by Robert Shea and Robert Anton Wilson, and I will warn you, it's got a lot of adult content in it. It's also very trippy, like LSD-type trippy. It jumps all over the place. But it's worth reading and working through it just because it will change your pattern recognition forever. It's made up of dozens and dozens of dungeons of societies and organizations and groups, and they're all trying to get their thing done. And they all think they're the right ones, that they're the right, they have the right answer. And many of them seem completely disconnected. They're fighting for this thing over here and that thing over there, and maybe one's a left-wing issue, one's a right-wing issue, but the two organizations only care about the other one's issues, right? And then there's some that are head-to-head fighting each other, and even the guys you think are really on the side of right, you know, they're doing their thing. And in the end, there's a very small number of people manipulating all of these organizations and entities, including the ones that are diametrically opposed to each other, and they really are. But they're actually furthering the same agenda. And that's what you're seeing go on in front of you right now. 100%. 100%. Yeah, no matter what you think about Gaza or Israel, what I want you to know is that what you're seeing with these protests and all is not organic. When you have, you know, a protest that wasn't supposedly planned until like a day before, and everybody has perfectly printed signs, that's not organic. That's not what organic looks like. When you have like, you know, orange and red and blue REI tents set up like they're damn, were set up by soldiers in perfect straight lines with each other, that's not an organic protest. When caterers are bringing food to a protest, that's not an organic protest. But it's going to be interesting. How will this play into the election? You know, it seems to favor Trump, really. But what if you want Trump elected? What if you're Soros? What if you want Trump? You would think that's crazy talk, right? But if all you care about is more damage to the country, right, even if you think the orange man will be good for the country, but what can the other side do while orange man is in office, right? What can they do? You think that they're going to be like, oh, okay, he won? Okay, he won? They're just going to be like, oh, okay, well, it's only 4 years. No problem. We'll just work with him. You think that's going to happen? There'll be articles of impeachment drafted before he's sworn in. Here's a prediction. The House impeached Trump for January 6th. Nothing was really done with it because like the guy had like 11 days left in office or something like that. And so the Senate was like, we're not doing this. This is stupid. They will immediately try to resurrect that and immediately call for those articles to be taken to the Senate for, and it won't work. But I mean, there, and if you want riots, if you use these riots to help him win and you use the fact that he won, you can really make some riots then. Don't you remember last time? Don't you remember the election of 2016? The people, remember the girl? She's not a meme that will live forever now. The very masculine looking fat chick sitting on the ground, and right when he was sworn in, at the exact minute she screams, ah! The pussy hat marches and you know, it's celebrities calling for firebombing the White House and shit. Oh, just all of the riots that went on the night that it happened. And have you ever noticed this? Where does the left riot? And I know there's a lot of right wingers that want to thump their chest about this, right? Like that's because they're afraid of us. No. Where does the left riot? It always riots in left-wing cities. It always destroys its own backyard. You never have riots in the places that actually voted for the other side for an election riot, for instance. Look at all the places that there were riots after the Trump election when Trump beat Hillary. Every single place where the riots actually happened voted for Hillary. And some people try to say, well, Antifa, they're not left or right. No, they're totally left. They're full-on socialists is what they are. If Hillary Clinton had won, there wouldn't have been those riots. Plain and simple. They would not have happened. They only happened because Trump won. So I think this is a setup. I think they've resigned themselves to the fact that no matter what they do to the orange man, he's now like the – remember the – clown boxing thing that we, when you're little kids, you blew it up and you knock it down, it pumped back up, that they've accepted that's what we have here. Maybe we can get him in jail, but he could get elected from jail. In fact, he probably would. And then we don't know what the hell we're going to do. Adam Schiff's trying to introduce a bill to strip his Secret Service protection if he's convicted. Like, because right now, if he was convicted and they're like, okay, you're going to prison, well, he's walking around with two Secret Service guys the entire time he's in prison. They're going to have to check in and be in shifts, check in, check out. But like That's just what comes with being president. You get Secret Service protection forever. So if he gets elected and you're part of this whole cabal, you've never had an opportunity to create fire in the streets like this before. It'll make the BLM riots, Occupy Wall Street movement, the civil rights riots of the 60s, et cetera, all put together look like a joke. And I think that's what's coming. And I think you should pay attention to that. And if you're in a place that can be endangered by it, and you know where that is now, because we've seen it already, you need to start thinking about mitigation now, even though it won't be for quite a while. And even though it's not guaranteed, I just think it's very probable. Because you better start believing in collapse stories. When you talk about economic collapse, the collapse of empire or whatever, everybody else call you a tinfoil hat prepper and you're a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy explainer. In fact, I won't even call them conspiracy theories anymore. There's so many conspiracy theories that over the past 10 years, and certainly over the last four, are no longer even debated as to whether they're true or not. It's like, oh, that's true, but don't worry about it. Right? Like, there's so many of these things that they insisted weren't real for so long, and when it becomes incontrovertible that it is, yeah, you're right, but it's actually good, and here's why. You're just too stupid to understand it. This will continue unabated. Our country is on the edge of oblivion. Now, I'm not saying 20 years from now there won't be a place called the United States of America. I'm saying that a person who was alive in the 1990s, if you brought them through time into it, wouldn't recognize it as the United States of America at all. I'd already say that's the case. A lot of you might find this hard to believe. Like, well, I was an American and I was old enough to know what was going on in 95, 2025 next year. I can still see this as the same place. A lot of bad stuff happened, but it's the same place. That's because you experienced it slowly across time. You experience it like when you watch your kids every day, you don't notice how much they grew. But like your mom or dad who lives out of state that comes in to see you like on holidays and maybe they skip a year because they couldn't. So you haven't seen them in like a year and a half and they come for Thanksgiving and they look at the kids and are like, oh my God, they've grown so much. And you know they've grown intellectually, but you don't really understand what that 18 months did. And then you go look at a picture and you take a picture with your phone, you look at them side by side and you go, oh my God, mom, you're right. Dad, you're right. Look how much they've grown. That's how this erosion of society has been. Everybody's waiting for the big collapse instead of understanding you're in the collapse. Empires of this size, and you got to think about it this way. There's never been an empire the size of the United States in history. The Romans, the Mongolians, the Golden Horde and all, like the Grecian Empire, none of them hold a candle to the United States Empire. And the reason is because we do not look at empires of today as empires. Because they don't look like, you know, the Roman Empire with garrisons of troops located throughout the empire. And if anybody does anything, the troops come out and stab them with a sword and beat them with a shield and whatever. Like, we use a lot more soft power. But that's actually something, if you actually study history, and you realize, like, they make movies about the centurions beating people up and shit because it's exciting, right? The Romans paying a vassal to maintain order and saying, hey, we got our goon squad if you need them. Otherwise, you run your place your way, but you better do things our way too. That's not a very interesting story, right? It doesn't get people to go watch really expensive movies in a theater, right? So that's why they've always focused on the other side of it. The United States exercises influence in every corner of the world. Even the countries that don't like us and claim to be opposed to us, we have influence. You don't think we have influence over China? Obviously, they have influence over us, but you don't think we have influence over China? You don't think that no matter how much shit Xi Jinping talks, the CCP talks, that they don't go, oh, no, we better think about before we do this because what's America going to do? You don't think we're paying them money in certain situations and doing it through like corporations instead of direct government money, but it's actually government that provided the money the corporation gives it to the Chinese? You don't think it's very incestuous and going all the way around? Tell me where the United States doesn't have major influence. I mean, even again, our adversaries, Russia, Russia is probably the most capable of opposing the United States right now in any meaningful way. And we still have incredible influence over Russia. Putin makes his decisions carefully, including what will the U.S. do if I do this. There has never been an empire with our level of control of the world. That doesn't mean we control everything. I said our level of control. What amount of control on a dimmer switch that you're turning? And so that doesn't go, you're the largest empire that ever existed, and tomorrow there's nothing left. No empire has ever fallen that way. Empires erode in their bloat and bureaucracy and slowly corrode from the edges inward. And as the edges inward begin to corrode, it's almost like a cancer that metastasizes, and then you start to corrode at your core. And then there's two corrosions head towards each other. That's what we have going on right now. And it's why you have to do all the things that we talk about. It's why you have to be a prepper. You have to have, you know, a couple months worth of food saved at least. You have to be able to produce some of your own food. You have to have community. You have to have, you know, diversification in your investment holdings. And five different mutual funds in a 401k is not diversity. You have to keep your debt low. Right. Or you have to, at least if you're going to have debt, then you better have some sort of debt that's separated from your personal assets. So that at least even if like because company debt is a thing. Right. Revolving lines of credit. If you have a company that's leveraged into real estate, you're going to have debt. So I'm not saying no debt, but the consumer debt has got to go. You know, if you cannot be going out buying your shit that you're using today on a credit card that you're going to pay for next year, you can't do that in this situation. You're going to get hurt even more. Fish rots from the head, as the builder of castles said, but this fish is rotting from the tail, the head, the fins, and the core all at the same time. That's how empires rot. They begin to fall apart at the edges. Confidence in the people within the empire and their sense of belonging to something unified is destroyed. So, you don't even have to be that old to really see this. Go back to the 1980s and you have two people shouting at each other over a political issue. But in the end, if you would have said, how do you feel about America? I love America. I'll stand a fight. And those two people would shut up and say, you know what, on this issue, we'll do what's right for America. Tell me that's the case today. Tell me we haven't really cut the country in half rate just on that issue alone. Like, do you care that you're an American? Do you think America is a force for good? Do you have pride in being an American? And I'm not even saying, you know, who's right or wrong. I'm just saying we had a unified ideal. There's very few people that weren't part of that unified ideal. There's always some minority opposed to anything. But overall, the country had a unity. And even people that didn't like each other, when it came down to us versus them and us was America, they were together. Now, again, there's people who would say, well, that's not so good when you're an empire. This is not good, bad. This is what is. This is about what is. Every empire had that unifying ideal. Sometimes it's religious. Sometimes it's secular. It's usually both. It's usually both that are used to, because tyrants know it's incredibly effective. If you can get people addicted to a secular and a religious idea simultaneously, and they see the state as being part of that, like the third party in that, and they have that commonality and that belief in that empire, whether it's good or bad, it's effective. But what always happens is as the outer edge begins to crumble, people in the empire look out and go, wait, this is not how this is supposed to be. These two things can't both be true. So then you start to have division of the tribalism inside society. And as much as government likes division, you can have too much of anything. Sugar's good. Too much sugar gives you diabetes. A little bit of whiskey is nice. A lot of whiskey destroys your body and you pass out in a coma and you die. Right? Poison is the dose. So they like division, but they also like unification. They want to be able to ring a bell. They want you guys all fight with each other. But like a teacher, right, in the front of the room, when they tap on the chalkboard or something, they want everybody to shut up and go, oh, okay. Okay. And be obedient. Well, that starts the fracture. And once that fractures, you got rot everywhere. That's the state of our country. And I know a lot of you don't want to believe that. You tell me what we'll put it back together. Think about the, I don't care which side you're on. I don't care what side you're on here. Think about the other side. Now ask yourself if you think that group is ever going to turn around and be willing to unify with your side ever again. Pretty sobering, isn't it? Anyway, be prepared. Summer of Love 2.0 is coming. It will probably be worse, and it will probably lead into election season, and then it will get even worse from there. That's my prediction. With that, let's go ahead and wrap things up. I want to remind you guys, if you like the show and the work that we do, you can always help us out by starting your online shopping at tspaz.com. That is T-S-P-A-Z, tspaz.com. You go there whenever you shop online. You can help us out no matter what you buy. Last week, I ran nonstop all week long the Vivor vacuum chamber vacuum sealer. If you haven't gotten one yet, I will tell you real brief, it's still on sale, but I need to move on and promote something else. And just so happened today, I got a price alert from Amazon on the Anker Soundcore Watertooth Bluetooth speakers. I love these things. I have literally tested the IPX7 waterproof by taking one of these and listening to music and drinking a beer, taking a shower, and sat it up on the shelf in the shower, and I got completely soaked in it, never sputtered. As long as you close the little charging port, needs to be closed if you do that. These things are great. They pair, and what I mean by that is that you can have two of them, and basically you have stereo sound. They're $40 a piece. They are absolutely awesome. They have great sound. Now, they're not going to give you the sound of like a $300 Beats speaker or something, but it's very good sound. I use them a lot in my outdoor shop, my further away shop, because I don't have AV in there like I do in my bigger shop. When I'm out working at the garden, I'll actually sit them up on the poles of my two garden beds, so I've got music on both sides when I'm working. They're really cool. I take them out to the pool because I don't care if they get wet. And they're cheap, so I'll take them if we go somewhere and I want to bring some portable music. Because if somebody runs off with it or I forget it or something, I'm out, you know, $40. Well, they're on sale today for $30 a piece, $29.95 a piece. It says it's a limited time deal. Anchor's usually not just marketing when they say that. They usually mean it is limited time. I would get two. I would just go right ahead and get two. I've been selling these since 2018. I have yet to have anybody tell me they have a problem that at least hasn't been rectified by Anchor. That's why I love Anchor. And down in the bottom of my write-up today, and there's a link to this in the video notes, and if you're on the audio, you can just go to the Survival Podcast, pull today's show up, and there'll be a link in the notes as well to the write-up on this where you can find out more about them and get your own. I have a link at the bottom of all my Anchor posts that go to a special deals from Anchor. They always have some stuff on sale, and I've kind of played with the linking algorithm over on Amazon and figured out how to link to just the deals from one place, because they are the best value electronics brand I've ever worked with. They are fantastic, and they always fix things if they go wrong. And that, to me, is more important than things never going wrong, because something always goes wrong when you deal in the kind of quantity we're talking about here, especially in electronics. When you're selling, you know, hundreds of thousands of different electronics a month in total units, you're going to have some problems. The question is, does the company fix the problem? Anchor always has. Next up, homefoodsystems.com is the website where we're building out courses to educate you to how to feed yourself. Says what it does and does what it says. Home Food Systems. We have a principle-based permaculture design course that's completely free. It is a 4-hour course with exams. It'll let you kick the tires and see if what we do there is right for you. Then you can think about taking the compost course and then the cover crop course that's coming next. I have what I call the 3 C's, which is compost, cover, and char. And those are the first 3 courses being developed. But you can take this principle-based course for free. And I really recommend that you do. And I'll tell you why. And it's why I did the course in the first place. If you use principles in your design, then it is agnostic to your climate, your slope, your rainfall, your soil type. Like when people say, but it's different where I am. Everybody says that. Everybody says that. You know who says that? My neighbor says that. My neighbor now says that, but you're lucky. So, okay, my luck ends right where this fence is. And the green that's fading into your lawn very slowly over time, that's my luck spreading to you, or that's my actions spreading to you. principles are agnostic of all those things because they are adaptable, so you develop the design that's right for you where you are. And that's why it was very important for me to put this course together. You know, I thought about making a very inexpensive course, $9 or something like that. And then I really thought about it and said, you know what, guys, I'm just going to give this away. Because I believe that the more you give, the more you get. So if you haven't taken that course yet, do so. And a lot of you signed up for it, and we know whether you've taken it or not. We actually see how many students, and we're not like going, oh, look, Roger T, he signed up, but he didn't do it. Just messing with you, Roger, because you're in the chat there. What I mean is like total numbers. We know how many students started it, how many students completed it, how many students signed up and never started it. If you signed up, you haven't started, give it, go through it. You are going to love it, I promise you. Anyway, with that, let's go ahead and take a couple questions I think we have here. No, we just have two super chats. And Brooke, I picked on her, and she still gave me a super chat. So anyway, Trappers Z gave me $1.99 super chat. And it said, for your anti-ad fund, thanks for great content. And, yeah, I've turned off advertisements in the live streams because Google lies, surprising enough. And, yeah, when you guys give me a few super chats, it doesn't hurt so much to have done that. Brooke gave me $10 and said, keep up the good work, Jack. I agree. I will do so as best I can, Brooke. And sorry for calling you out there and getting it wrong. That does happen when I'm using one eye to look at chat out of the side eye. And Yules It's Rex says, Yules It's Rex. Yo, It's Rex. That's what it is. Yo, It's Rex. I got you. Would you say that the mainstream media or elected officials, or are the main contributor to the degradation of our nation? Yes, but not really. I see the mainstream media and our elected officials as tools of the true elite. So they are the mechanism by which it occurs, but they are not the hand by which the decision was made to do it. This is why I really recommend, and I should probably add it as an item of the day, you know, and put it on T-Spaz or something, right? The Illuminatus Trilogy. I think you have to read something like that. And, of course, it's not exactly accurate. It's a complete fiction made-up book. And it's every conspiracy theory that ever existed at the time it was published is in it and rolled into it. And there's a lot of things in it that even, like, have become, like, TV shows and stuff. Like, there's a TV – I think it was called Sequest. It was either the 80s or 90s. And there was, like, a talking dolphin and a submarine. And, you know, like, that's literally the submarine – that was owned by Hagbard Selene in that book, right? And if you read that book, then you're going to, like, develop, again, this pattern recognition that, no, Bill, who got elected to the U.S. Congress, you know, he's going to – there's a couple things that you need to know. This is not in the book. Let's know what's in the book. He's maybe not going out there and going, ha-ha, now I'm one of the congressmen. How can I destroy Jake Robinson's life, right? You know, how can I sow division and whatever? He's going to do his best to get his agenda done, but that makes him predictable. That makes him predictable. Now we can work towards getting what we want from him by knowing what his predictable nature is and putting the right things in front of him at the right time. That's what's happening with the media, the bureaucrats, all of it. There is a very small cabal that really is behind all of this, and they understand the manipulation of this system is very easy because the system was designed to be manipulatable with money. And since they can print money, they have all the money that they need to manipulate the system. See how that works. You know, my buddy over here that runs this bank will loan you this money really, really cheap, and then you can use this money to pay for the things that we need. But you better take some of it and do this other thing or you're not getting any more. It can be that simple. It can be that simple. So when you say, is the media and the elected officials the primary cause of it, the answer is both yes and no, depending on how you attack the question. Without them, would it be doable? No. But are they making the decision to do it? Mostly not. Mostly not. So I really recommend you check that out. Anyway, with that, guys, I want to wrap things up. Thank you for tuning in today. I don't know what we'll talk about tomorrow. I haven't decided yet. But it'll be something cool, and it will not be all of this current events crap and all this misery. It will be something more proactive in your life that I will commit to. I'll catch you tomorrow with another episode. It's been Jack Spirko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. Help you figure out how to live that better life, times get tough, or even if they don't.
Are they gonna bail you out or just run you around? They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.